Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Now, this is an extraordinary story. So when Georgina Lawton's dad died in 2015, she finally unraveled a big web of family secrets that had plagued her for years. She's on the line now to tell me her story. Georgina, good morning.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good. You're very welcome to the show. So you were born in Queen Charlotte Hospital to an Irish mum, Colette, and an English dad, Jim. And while your dad held and kissed you, your mum knew something, right?
She did, yeah. I wasn't the baby they'd been expecting, I guess. And that was quite apparent when I was born because they don't look anything like me. I'm brown-skinned, curly hair, and my mum is very Irish-looking. My dad's very English-looking. So I didn't look anything like my parents. I'm black and they're white. And it wasn't really discussed from that point onwards, which is, you know, surreal to look back at now. Nobody really said much.
So, do you know if a discussion was had before you were born about the affair your mum had that had resulted in her pregnancy with you?
No, nothing was said at all.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just never acknowledged. I think my mum never wanted to talk about it. She didn't talk about it with my dad. And then when I was born, it was very obvious that the past had sort of invited itself into the present because here was this baby that was this reminder of her affair. And yeah, the midwife in the hospital didn't say much. My dad didn't say much and it wasn't really discussed.
Nobody said anything. Nobody acknowledged that you were this gorgeous brown baby and you had white parents and it was just la, 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 la. This is fine.
Well, the midwife, she was, obviously it was an English hospital, but she knew my mum was Irish. And my mum is from near a place called Spanish Point on the West Coast in Clare. And the midwife said, oh, perhaps, you know, your daughter's a throwback gene because of all the, you know, Spanish sailors.
Oh, that old chestnut.
Yes. I became this throwback gene baby. That was the story that started that day in the hospital. And that's what was repeated to me as I grew up. You know, when I went back to Ireland, sometimes I'd get comments, questions, but that was kind of where the story came from.
The incredible part of this story is your dad was so accepting, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. I had the most hands-on, affectionate, loving father. He never made me feel as if, you know, there was an issue with how I looked or that our difference would come between us. We were really close. And, you know, he must have been battling with a lot in his own head because he never made me feel as if I didn't belong. But he must have thought at some point, this doesn't make sense. But he didn't let it show.
So how do you explain that to people? If were questions asked, did you ever feel you had to explain, or was the whole Spanish thing from Ireland, was that the tagline that people said to explain because you're a brown girl with white, you know, brothers and, you know, siblings?
Yeah, do you know, it wasn't as frequent as you might think. My mum's family in Ireland, they all took their cues from my parents who just didn't discuss it. And my dad's family in England, they're sort of equally stoic. So it wasn't questions from them. It was more when we stepped beyond our little community. I grew up in a very white area on the outskirts of London. But when we went on holiday, maybe to Spain or France, and I'd meet new friends, there'd be questions like, oh, are you adopted? Or are those your parents? And I'd have to sort of defend my family's, you know, story all on my own because my brother didn't know what to say. And my parents, you know, they pretend not to hear or they just wouldn't talk about it. So it was quite isolating at times trying to hold up this narrative that didn't make sense.
Was there a point in your life when you realized, hang on a second, I look different. I look different to my siblings and my family.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, at 5 years old, I could see that I had brown skin, but I didn't realize the connotations of that. I didn't know that that meant I was black. I didn't know what black meant because that was not a word that anyone was saying to me. So I didn't have that pride in my black heritage. I didn't have that, you know, ability to move through the world with confidence when it came to this part of my story because I didn't have the language for it. So, you know, at five, I could see that, but the answers weren't coming. So I just had to repeat what I was told, which was, you know, my parents are my parents. I might be a throwback gene. And then when I got to about 14, you know, I realized that people were calling me mixed race, but I didn't know what that meant either because I didn't have any answers around my mix. So it was something that I could see, something I could realize, but I didn't know what the truth was. So it was kind of like having 2 + 2 and getting 5. It wasn't making sense.
Yeah. Georgina, what was school life like for you?
It was usually pretty happy. You know, I was quite confident with lots of my friends. I had the same group of friends, you know, for lots and lots of time from the primary school up into the secondary school. But when we started to meet new people at 17, 18, that's when it became a bit tricky because I had to start answering all these questions. And, you know, everyone at 18 is a bit more cynical. So I didn't have the same weight when it came to explaining my story. We meet boys from the local boys' school and everyone would say, that's not possible. Your parents are lying to you. And I felt like that was quite a difficult time because I was having to redefine myself all over again. And then there was, you know, incidents at school with teachers asking me, you know, what my ethnicity was, which was difficult as well.
So your sense, it says here, just got stronger and stronger as you got older. And as you said there, meeting 18, you know, people who are 17, 18, different questions are asked and they're more cynical. So are you still at this stage believing what you've been told? I mean, your lovely dad died in 2015. Did this moment in your life instigate you searching for answers maybe, or did it happen before that?
Yeah, I think that gave me permission to really dig deep into my heritage because I'd been afraid to access, I guess, the truth when my dad was around. But once he got sick, I knew that if I didn't tackle this topic, then, you know, the truth would sort of die with him. So I had a conversation with him before he passed away and he said, I know that you're mine and you don't need to worry about this. But he gave me permission to do a DNA test. And I didn't process it until after he passed away because it was just too difficult. I didn't want to, you know, dominate the last few months of his life with all this. But we didn't talk about it in detail because of that decision. And a year after he passed away, then I got a paternity test back that said, you know, your dad's not your biological dad. And then I decided to go traveling. I go to a lot of black spaces around the world and, you know, work out a bit more about who I was once I had this knowledge that my dad wasn't my dad. I also realized that there was this whole other part of me that, you know, belongs within the African diaspora. So I did a lot of traveling, a lot of searching to kind of make up for lost time, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, he was your dad. You know, he was your dad. Cool. He was there for you. He looked after you. You said he was very hands-on. He was your dad. He wasn't your biological dad. And that must have been seeing that on paper, how did that feel?
Yeah, it was just devastating because, you know, I got those results at 22, 23. And even though I'd been moving through the world with a little bit more pride in my black heritage, I still was adamant that both my parents were my parents. So to get that knowledge, even at that age, it was just, you know, destroyed me because I felt like I'd lost my dad all over again, basically. I'd already lost him physically, but then I lost the truth about our relationship or what I thought was the truth. You know, I was no longer his daughter in the way that I'd always believed. So that was really devastating. And I was quite angry because, you know, my mum was the only one who could tell me the truth and I couldn't talk about it with my father. So she got sort of the brunt of my rage. And it was a really, really tricky period, really, really difficult, which is why I decided to go off, go traveling and put some space between me and everything that had happened.
How did your mum react to all of this? Was she forthcoming with what really happened? And
no, initially not at all, which is what made the situation even, you know, harder. I think she kept the secret so tightly, you know, close to her for so many years. She couldn't admit what these DNA tests were telling us. So that was really hard. And then, you know, after a while, she did say, okay, there was a man, there was a night. It was when we were living in, you know, West London. And the impact of those words was huge, but it sort of spurred me on to, I guess, find a little bit more out about who I was and really position myself in communities that I'd never really seen myself in, which is why I went and traveled and, you know, played catch up with a lot of the things that I'd missed out on.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because you went on this quest to learn about your African roots. Did you feel like you were playing catch up a little bit? Because you're in your 20s now and, you know, it's a lot of years lost.
Yeah, absolutely. I was angry that I'd had so much sort of taken away from me, or I'd made myself, you know, distance myself from things I could have done. You know, I was really scared to get my hair braided as a teenager because I thought that would make me look like too much of an other in my white family and my white friendship group. So there's just stuff like that, cultural things that I hadn't participated in, books that I hadn't read. You know, I'm a writer and I love fiction, so I went and read loads of fiction by Black women, women who are from West Africa, women who are from the States, and just wanted to learn a little bit more about, you know, African diasporic cultures. So I went to Nicaragua, I went to the Dominican Republic, which I write about in the book. I write about black hair and my relationship with that, and how it sort of, you know, spans, how it sort of pans out in other countries as well. You know, getting my hair done on a beach in Costa Rica and getting it done in New York and getting it done in London, the similarities that, you know, were part of that process as black women was really great, and it gave me a sense of community. So, you know, traveling is something that I'm really passionate about, and it's given me a lot, and it's been really transformative for me, and it's helped me learn a lot about my place in the world and, you know, how I guess the UK has infiltrated all these amazing black communities, you know, colorism, racism, colonialism, how they've affected all these amazing places that I, you know, position myself in. That was really interesting, but also quite sad to see as well.
How are you and your mum now?
Yeah, we're good.
Oh, God. Did it take a while to get to a place where you are good?
Yeah, years.
Like, oh, right, okay. Okay.
Yeah, long periods. I came back from travelling and we started a lot of therapy together, and I had to learn, you know, about the impact of her Irish childhood, not talking about things, keeping things secret, why that was preferable for her. And she had to learn about why I needed to speak about everything and why I needed to end this silence and, you know, attack it head on by writing about it. That was really hard for her to get her head around. But
and you know what, Georgia, it's funny because obviously being in Ireland, and it's probably, this story is probably not shocking to a lot of people, because her Irish upbringing was a huge part of the secrecy, and we're very good at that, you know, over here. Oh, secrets.
Very good.
And our Catholic upbringing and just the time and where she came from. I mean, she'd be forgiven for it because of where she comes from. Isn't that kind of a sad thing to say, but it's the truth, you know? She's a product of where she came from. And that's why your story is so important as well. Amazingly. Did you ever try and find your biological dad?
Yeah, so I've looked, you know, in the book I write a lot about DNA tests and how they help shape our identities. I look at other people's stories, you know, very similar to my own. Lots of people have come forward and said, oh, something similar has happened to me. So I've put them in the book, and I've got a whole chapter on DNA testing and its impact. And I found a distant cousin who is Nigerian, and I took an ancestry test, which indicated that I have a large proportion of Nigerian heritage. So I spoke to some experts and they said, okay, it's likely this guy was from, you know, Nigeria as well, but I can't find any closer matches. So what I'm doing is keeping my DNA on the system. And, you know, the story is, I guess, still unfolding in a way, because I want to find out a bit more. But when I first started digging into it, it was really hard, because I thought I was, you know, replacing the dad that raised me, and I didn't want anything to do with this other person. But now, as I've got older, I think it would help me fill in the missing blanks that are still, you know, still there. So it's something that I'm definitely interested in pursuing. And, you know, I've got an Audible series on the DNA testing industry as well. It's called The Secrets in Us. And, you know, I interview my mum and I talk to other people who have gone through similar things and look at all the the DNA tests and what they're doing to us. And it's definitely something I'm interested in pursuing.
Because every family has a story, right?
Yes, absolutely. There's lots of secrets that are coming to light now with these tests.
Totally. Oh my God. Well, listen, it's an incredible book. It's called Raceless. It's out now. Georgina Lawton, thank you so much for coming on the show and best of luck with the rest of your quest and your life.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Georgina. There we go. What an incredible story. And it is an incredible book. You can get it now. Like I said, it's called Raceless. Go and check it out. We'll be back right after these.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.